Jesus Christ. I would like to be able to sit and think and sit in peace. But that's not fucking possible. Because every time I come into the mall now, somebody's blasting the fucking music. It's like you got a bunch of little fucking teenage schoolgirls sitting in their bedroom with the music cranked up, screaming at each other. Either that or they're trying to sell you something. Fucking ridiculous. Let's see. Here comes the music again. Crank up Britney. Ooh, it's Britney Spears. I don't know who the fuck this is, but this is the worst kind of music. I can't stand this fucking kind of music. Can you hear it in the background? And then instead of just playing the whole fucking song, they got to talk over it all the time and stop it. It's like being on an airplane. You're watching a fucking movie, but every 5 minutes, the pilot feels like talking. This is one of the many irritants that I have in my life. Usually irritation in my definition comes from excessive noise, excessive busyness. Yeah, here it comes again. Why, when I'm sitting at Starbucks, would I want to hear this shit? The reason I'm doing this podcast right now is because I was listening to a podcast, a Bill Burr podcast, and I couldn't hear myself think because this music's so fucking loud. And this is always how it is. It's either you've got a nice peaceful day in the village and some trucks driving by screaming at the top of their lungs how they have fucking vegetables. Like there are no other places in the world to get vegetables besides the back of a fucking pickup truck. Or you got some chick who's thinks she's hot shit, and she's not really all that, but she's selling cosmetics, and she thinks that because she's the salesperson that she's important. And all she's doing is talking about how white her product is going to make a woman's skin. Which, where I come from, I want to be brown. I want to be dark. I don't want to be white. And the women, they like that too. So, while it may be okay here, why do they feel the need to scream at women and tell them that they have to buy shit? I mean, I would think women are shrewd enough when it comes to shopping for their cosmetics that they know which product might actually work, which none of them fucking work. And I think I wrote this in my book. By the way, the name of the book is They Call Me Farang, in case you don't know by now. You've never listened to any of my podcasts or videos, watch my videos. But, you know, the women, they think that they put this magical fucking cream on, and then they come back and they're white instead of dark brown. I've yet to see a Thai woman who was brown, and then a couple years later I saw her, and guess what? She looked white. It just doesn't work. It's a big fucking racket, just like cosmetics. I mean, the bottom line is that you could put all the makeup you want on, and yeah, if you put a little bit on, it might make you look better. But you put too much on, and it's like, you look like a clown. Now, here I am, I'm sitting here with this, sitting here by myself, doing my little podcast, and there's some guy with some big-ass Thai girl with a couple of kids. And, you know, one thing that I did when my kids were little was I made sure that they didn't bother other people. I tried my best. Now, they might cry once in a while. They may have said things, you know, a little loudly or whatever. Well, it looks like they turned down the music a little bit. You can still hear it. It's still irritating. Anyway, I tried to keep my kids in check. You know, I made them behave. This is a job of a parent. You make sure your kid behaves in a public setting, and he behaves properly. I don't want my kid, I never did, want him acting like a little kid who ran around and bothered everybody and tried to be, you know, little Mr. Cute. If they were cute, they were cute because they were cute, not because they were running around trying to get in through doors and stick their finger in the electric socket and make other people go, oh shit, this kid isn't being watched. I better help pull his fingers out of the socket. Now, this fat-ass Thai chick and her goofy-looking husband have these two kids. They're running around. The kids are running around doing whatever the hell they want. Instead of the mother grabbing a kid by the hand or picking the kid up and saying, hey, you ain't going anywhere, kid. You stand right next to me. We're going to get us a little cake. No, they don't do that. They let the kid run all over Starbucks screaming and fucking yelling. The kid sticks his fingers through the door of Starbucks trying to get in. Almost smashes her little fingers. You know, now that's not fair. I don't want to see the kid get smashed. Some lady gets up, tries like three times trying to help the kid get through the door, stay out of the door. But the kid wants to play with the door and go in and out, and every time he goes in and out, he's almost getting his finger smashed. Or she. I think it was a she. And then you got this, you know, you got this, well, let's just say there's this restaurant next door where gender non-specifics, something like that. You know, you're not sure of the, you know, it's like kind of like Pat on Saturday Night Live, you know, the Pat show. If you ever saw that, you're just not really sure which team the person is batting for. Well, they got one of these, and this kid, this little screaming little banshee, runs over to this restaurant and sees this thing, this, I don't know whether it was a he or a she, and the thing sticks its hand out like, oh, look at the little cute kid. Shake my hand, Bubba. And the kid stares at him like, what? I swear to you, I'm not just making this up. The kid looks at the thing like, what the fuck kind of Frankenstein monster are you? What in the... I don't know if you're a mommy and I should suck your tit, or you're a daddy and I should listen to you because you might smack my little behind. And then the thing comes over and starts looking at me. The little kid runs over, you know, probably scared shitless, comes over and starts looking at me, and I just give it the look, like, what are you looking at, kid? Get the fuck away from me. You know, I just don't want to be bothered. It's not that I'm not nice and I don't like kids. I like kids. I just like them to leave me the fuck alone when I don't want to be bothered. You know, and like, that's why my kids are so great. They know, I tell them, hey, I need my peace and quiet. You know, Poppy needs his little peace and quiet. Please give me a break. Yeah, every once in a while, listen, they are little devilish fellows at times. They like to sit on the couch and beat the piss out of each other. You know, of course, I don't mind if they do that because they're boys. They're young boys. They're wrestling. They're, you know, punching each other in the nuts. And, you know, of course, the old favorite, stick the hands down the pants and stick the hand in the face of the brother. You know, that seems to be a favorite, which I don't understand where that came from, because it didn't come from me. Anyway, you know, you get my point. They like to beat the piss out of each other. And that's about the most that they irritate me. Sometimes we're like, hey, you want to beat on each other? You want to fight? You want to wrestle? Keep it down. Keep the racket down. And usually they're pretty good about it. You know, I mean, I don't know why, but I got good kids. How they became good kids, I'm not so sure. I mean, maybe it's because I'm decent to them and I listen to them and don't treat them like a little rug rat, because I don't want them to act like a rug rat. You know, they when I went to their school last month, they're telling me, you see this kid over here? We don't like him. I'm like, why don't you like him? He seems like a good kid. Because he's always screaming and yelling, and he wants everybody in the whole class to hear everything that he says. I'm like, okay, so what do? We ignore him. We don't. That's why they stick together. They're, you know, they're brothers. They stick together because the majority of their kids in the class act like, you know, they're in the, well, what are they? I don't know. They're 13 and 15. Oh, almost 15. We'll be, oh, wow, what's today? Oh, Alex will be 15 in a couple of weeks. I can't believe it. Nicholas is 13. But, you know, they act like young adults. I mean, you know, they have their moments, but they act like young adults. The kids in their class, I mean, in Alex's class, they act like they're 7 years old. They don't get what they want. They start whining and stomping their feet like little spoiled brats, which I don't understand it. But these are some of the irritants in my life. Now, there is one other irritant, and that is when you go in to go shopping and you're going to go up the escalator and you got a group of people standing there. This happens quite a lot here. You got a group of people standing there. And guess where they are? They're right in front of the escalator. They form a wall and you can't get up the escalator. And you're trying to get through. Excuse me, cop. Kotod, cop. Kotod, you know, which is, you know, excuse me, can I get by? Let me get through here. And they look at you like, what? What is it? We're trying to make our decision in front of this escalator. Why don't you go around? Well, I would go around if I could, but you formed a fucking wall that Nick Bonacani couldn't get through. If you don't know who that is, you better look it up. Miami Dolphins. A very small middle linebacker, but very, very tenacious and good. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. I'm thinking about Miami, you know, and this is the thing. Right now, I've got, about 9 days before we take off to go to Florida. And, you know, listen, I'll get along because I'll be able to bite my tongue just knowing that I don't have to put up with this shit every single day. If there's any shit that goes on, I'll just figure, listen, this is temporary. I'm on a holiday. I'm going to have a good time. You know, that's usually what people do when they're on a holiday. So that's fine. I know I got a place to come back. So I'll bite my tongue, right? But I'm wondering what it's going to be like. And, you know, for me, the joy of seeing my kids and my wife go to America for the first time is gift enough for me. Okay, it's a big deal to me. It's like opening up Christmas presents every day, and I'm really looking forward to that. Of course, my kids are more concerned about, you know, my son Alex is, he knows that Grandpa likes to hunt and fish, so he said, hey, you know, we're gonna get to go hunt ducks. And I said, well, you know, that depends on how you listen, because shooting a gun is very dangerous, and you're going to have to listen to everything, and we're going to have to be confident that you understand the extreme gravity of a situation when you don't listen. In other words, if you don't listen and you just start twirling your gun around because you want to show everybody, you know, that you're a gunslinger, then you're probably not the person that we want handling a gun, because you might just kill somebody. You know, when you shoot a gun, you got to be, you need to be careful. And, of course, what does he do? I call my mother, and he says, Grandma, when am I going to get to shoot ducks? It's the first thing out of his mouth. Nicholas is interested more in the snakes and alligators. Now, of course, Grandma doesn't like hunting, and Grandma hates snakes and alligators. And it just turns out that the other day in Florida, in southern Florida, near Okeechobee, which is fairly close to where my parents live. My parents live close to the Everglades, right on the edge of the Everglades, actually. And Okeechobee is, I don't know where it is exactly. I can't remember, to tell you the truth, but it isn't all that far. And I guess there was a gator that had been eating the cattle in some area, in some guy's farm or whatever. And people tried to track it down and hunt it, and eventually they found it. And this alligator was 15 feet long and about 800 pounds. Now, that's relatively small compared to a crocodile, but if you saw this thing, 15 feet long and 800 pounds, is one big animal. So I had to make doubly sure to tell my kids, if we are anywhere near the water, like a canal or a little, you know, in the Everglades, we're in a canal, we're in the swamp, whatever, don't go sticking your hands in the water, because you might not come back. You might lose your hand. You might lose your ass. And if there's 800-pound gators being caught, I'm sure that there are 1,000-pound gators somewhere, because they didn't get big by being stupid. And thus, this is something that we have to think about. And then, of course, there's snakes, which I think there's rattlesnakes and coral snakes in Florida. They're not a big deal, but it's not so much that they're like a cobra or a crate where, you know, you see them and you try to grab them. People don't generally, they know in the United States, most people know, hey, I'm not going to grab this snake. I would think most people. People think, you know, if you don't know, people are taught, at least kids are taught, I was taught, when you see a snake that is red, yellow, and black, you don't just try to grab it. Because guess what? It could be a king snake, it could be a coral snake. And if you get bit by a coral snake, you're fucked. Okay? Extremely poisonous, extremely strong venom. And so, you know, listen, my kids have been brought up to understand that you don't go and grab snakes. You don't try to kill them. You don't, you know, unless you got a long stick. But these kind of snakes are generally not very aggressive. And the way to stop yourself from being bitten is to be aware of where you're walking. Because it's a snake that you don't see that you step on, or you come close to stepping on, or you come too close to, that's the one that bites you, or that you try to grab. Whereas in some places, there are snakes that, you know, most snakes just want to get away from you. But, you know, the snakes in Florida tend to be a lot smaller than the snakes in Asia. Like a king cobra gets huge. But anyway, that's something that we've been thinking about. But, you know, we plan on doing quite a few things. We want to go down to the, well, I don't know if we're going to go to the Florida Keys. I would imagine we may do that if we have time. We're there for 3 weeks, but we got a couple of days travel time going from New York to Florida. And I'm not sure if we're flying back up to New York or we're going to drive back up there, what we're going to do. But I'm going to be taking all kinds of photos. And I'm looking forward to that, because I really have not photographed America since, when I was in my late 20s, I didn't do much photography. I didn't have the time. And then when I moved to Thailand is when I really started getting into it and started making a little bit of money from it, and started selling my stuff to magazines and stuff like that. But I'm looking forward to that part of the trip. But, you know, the main thing is just the wife and kids are, they're newbies to America. And I'm hoping that they have a great experience and they like what they see. Now, I'm wondering if I'm going to like what I see. Because I remember either the last trip I went on or the trip before that, when I went into the butcher. My mother and I went to the butcher and there was nobody behind the counter. And some lady walks up and she's speaking Spanish to my mother. And she's my mother's like, oh, you got anybody that speaks English? You know, I don't speak Spanish. And, you know, my mother knows enough Spanish to get by. She told her that in Spanish. She said, you know, no habla español, habla un poquito. You got anybody that wants that speaks English here? And the lady goes, oh, un momento, you know, 1 minute, goes in the back to go find somebody that speaks English. I said to my mother, what is this? We're not in a Spanish neighborhood. Why can't they learn how to speak English? And I think that when it comes to immigrants, whether it be myself here in Thailand, or Mexicans or Cubans or whoever it is that immigrates to the United States, I think one of the stipulations to becoming a resident or a citizen is that you need to learn how to speak the language. You need to be able to pass at least, you know, like a grade school language test. But guess what? That's probably never going to happen in the United States, because it's politically incorrect to ask somebody to actually speak something other than their own fucking language. you know, now, listen, you want to go live out in the, you know, in the French part of New Orleans where they only speak Cajun? Well, that's fine. That's up to you. But, you know, then when they go into another part of the country, they don't expect everybody else to speak Cajun and Creole. So, I don't get it. And this is a sticky little sticky issue with me. Because I think if you're going to come into the country, the United States, you speak English. You're going to go into China, you speak Chinese, or you speak Mandarin, or whatever the language is in the, you know, in that particular region. You come to Thailand, you learn how to speak Thai. You don't want to learn how to speak at least some basic Thai, or whatever the language might be, then why are you living in the country? You know, and this is one thing that really bothers me about some of the people from the Middle East who go into like Paris, France rather, or Belgium, or the UK, or the United States. They set up their little neighborhoods, and then they refuse to learn how to speak speak the native tongue there. You know, what good is that? It, to me, if you want to, first of all, in Thailand, I am never going to be Thai. I already understand that. But if you want to, what's the word that I'm looking for? Ingratiate? I don't know if that's the word, but I believe it might be. If you want to, then you need to learn a little bit of the language. You need to learn their culture, and you need to say, listen, I'm in your country. I'm not in your country because I want to be an American. Now, in my house, we consider it America. That's what me and my kids, this is America here. We don't have to speak Thai. We don't have to do by the Thai way. We don't do anything. Now, obviously, that's a bit of a stretch. But, you know, when you're inside of my house, generally, nobody else is going to be in there but my family. And that's the way we think. We like it that way. You know, I speak in English to my wife. I speak in English to my kids. They speak in English. And that's the way it is. When you go outside, we're in the real world. Guess what? We're in Thailand. We got to speak the language. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, unless I'm speaking to somebody else, what I always get is these foreigners who, you know, they know like three words of Thai and they want to practice their Thai with me. I'm like, why are you speaking to me in Thai? Your Thai is shit. I don't understand you. Why don't you speak in English? You know what I'm saying? So, now here we go again. I'll just let you listen to a little bit of this. It's like they got fucking commercials on a megaphone going on 24/7 from the minute that this place opens to the minute it closes. You know, I told myself I wasn't going to come here today, and I had a hankering for a carrot walnut muffin. You know, I've been really watching what I eat lately. Been doing nothing but eating salad and soup and a lot of fruit. I've been eating very, very clean. And I've dropped a little bit of weight, and I feel better. I feel not so so sluggish. A lot more energy now. But the one thing that I have, well, two things I haven't given up really are the carrot walnut muffin. Because, listen, Starbucks here, in this particular Starbucks, they have absolute shit here for food. I don't want to eat their Danish. I don't want to eat a cake. I don't want to eat their sandwiches. I don't want to eat anything like a ham and cheese croissant because I'm off the pork right now. At least I'm for quite some time I should be off. You know, I don't know. I don't foresee. I mean, I'm not going to be real strict about it. If I feel like having a piece of bacon, I'll have it. But I just don't really feel like it right now. So I've been sticking to the pescatarian diet. And the only thing they got is tuna fish, and what they do with the tuna fish, they give you a couple pieces of wheat bread, and they put a tiny little bit of tuna in it. It doesn't really do anything for me. So other than that, what do you got? You got a croissant, you got cake, you got some, you know, little pot pies, and you got basically junk food. So I have the muffin, and that's bad enough, because I know it's got sugar and probably all kinds of other garbage in it. So I'm weaning myself off that, but today I said, you know what? I'm going to tighten my belt. I come to the grocery every day or every other day. I get myself a nice salad. I get everything I need for a salad, or I just buy the salad and make it at the salad bar, put it all together. and then bring it home. And usually it's good for dinner and like the next day for lunch. I get some soup and, you know, I'm fine. And I feel a lot better. My wife feels really good because she's been on the same kind of a diet, except she doesn't. She's completely off meat. She doesn't eat any fish. You know, which, whatever. That's what I tell her. I said, listen, you do what you want. I'm not going to give you a hard time about it. Good for you. That's what you want to do. But for me, I want some meat once in a while. And with that, with that desire for meat, you know, if I don't get it, then I start feeling really grouchy. So, you know, I may need some time to acclimate, but like I said before, there's no way I'm going to listen, I'm going to go home, and I'm sure my father will whip out a nice filet mignon or T-bone or something, I won't pass it up. But I'm not eating it all the time. I'm not eating on a regular basis. I'm not having ham sandwiches anymore. I'm not having, pork chops for dinner. I'm not doing any of that. So I feel really good about that. But, you know, going home is going to be a bit of a challenge, because I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of good food. The kids want to have some lasagna, and I'm going to have to talk my mother into making lasagna without any pork in it. You know, or manicotti. I like the manicotti. Very fattening, but very delicious. You know, so stuff like that. I mean, you know, I'm happy that I'm sticking with. I'd say out of about 20 meat. What would I eat? Probably 21 meals a day and a couple of snacks. The snacks are generally fruit. And God, this is irritating having this music in the background. You know. Well, let me finish my train of thought here. So, you know, out of all the meals I have every week, I probably have one or two meals that has seafood in it. And other than that, it's all. I'm not eating bread. I'm not eating pasta. Not much pasta. I did have some whole wheat pasta the other day in a salad, and that was it. Now, back to this irritating shit. Because that was the whole gist of this podcast. This is irritating, hearing this shit in the background. And then the other day, you know, they've installed these metal detectors at the front of the mall. So everybody's got to walk through them when they come into the mall now. Obviously, you know, trying to beef up security, although they never really look at you. And the thing goes off all the time. Now, the other day I was sitting here, and every 5 minutes, of course, I got to have somebody sit right next to me yapping. Every 5 minutes, somebody would walk through this thing, and a thing was going off, and it would beep, 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 beep. And then 2 minutes later, somebody would go through, and you would hear beep, 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 beep. And then 5 minutes later, beep, 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 beep. So this thing's continually going off, and I'm thinking, how am I supposed to hear myself think, Jesus Christ, this is loud. How am I supposed to hear myself think? Of course, these two ladies are arguing about which macchiato to get. Like, who gives a shit? Make the choice. If this is the biggest fucking decision you'll make in your life, it's not a big deal. You know, I feel sorry for you if this is your big decision in your life. There are more difficult decisions. I read once that the most successful people are people who make their decisions and they don't spend an excessive amount of time to make that decision. And I believe in that. Now, not that I'm extremely successful, but I'm successful enough in my own mind that I'm content. But let me tell you, this is so fucking irritating that I think it's time to end this podcast. This is the most irritating shit to hear this. Their little. It's like calling up the internet company and they're. They come on with a happy face. Oh, we're with a happy voice. Oh, we're so sorry we can't reach you right now. You're number 437. We'll be with you shortly. And then they put on this music, their own music, about their own company and how great it is and how you have to join up with them. And here you are sitting on the phone for 2 hours trying to talk to them. That's what this reminds me of. It's like, if I want to buy something, this is the thing, when people try to sell me shit, I'm always the kind of person, like, what? What do you want? Don't try to fucking sell me anything. Don't you think if I need a taxi that I'm intelligent enough to be able to walk? I'm a human being. I got a brain. I can walk over and get a taxi if I want one. You know, they just don't give people credit for that sometimes. So that's how it is. Listen, you know, life is not all about irritation. Sometimes you go to Bali. Sometimes you lock your door to your bedroom and shack up with the old lady. Sometimes you close all the doors, lock the gate. You don't let anybody in, and you put your headphones on, and you just chill out, laying back on your bed. You know, I gotta get away though sometimes because there's too many irritations. Really, there are too many irritations that are they. Just like this kind of stuff. It's like, how can you possibly think? I would hate to be somebody who worked here all the time. Jesus Christ. I would hate to work at this mall all the time. I think if I worked here all the time, I would go ballistic. I might have to do a post office if that happened here. Seriously. And then you go out into another part of the mall, and they're doing something completely different, and they're screaming and yelling about, you know, how you got to buy this car and that car because it runs on vegetable oil and you know, ground up women's panties or something like that. You know, it's like, ugh. Yeah, it's just too much. It's just too much. And so anyway, one thing I'm going to be doing in the near future as I try to put this miserable podcast to rest. Something that I'm going to be doing in the very near future is I'm going to put my budget out there, the basics of my own budget out there, and then I'm going to compare that to what I think a budget in Bali would be like. Because I think that'll be interesting because I'm actually thinking about spending quite a bit of time there to be first of all for photography. And second of all, just to chill out and relax. And I did some preliminary research. I'm not sure how many, if we can get four people in, you know, like a suite somewhere and get a room for like $50 a day, like, you know, some kind of a hotel room for $50-$60. I'd imagine we could, but I don't know if the quality would be up to snuff. But I did look around at some houses. And there are some places that are between $1,500 and $2,000 a month. So you know, if you're there for 2 months, and you got $3,000, $4,000, you plop that down, boom, you're set as for a place to stay. Then you just need money for groceries, money to go out and eat once in a while, money for transportation, and you go out and have yourself a good time, and you go to the beach, and you go, you know, I want to teach my kids to, well, not me, I'm going to have somebody teach them to surf, and, you know, it should be a good time, but I think it'll be interesting to look at what I see as the two budgets, because I think I may be wrong, but I think the food, at least until I really get to know the place, would be more money in Indonesia, in Bali, I'm sorry, not just Indonesia, but in Bali, than it would be, say, where I live now, in my current situation. And then the other thing is that part of the budget, if I'm staying in Bali, is that you got to pay the bill. You still have to pay the bills back home. So, you know, that's something else to think about, but anyway, that's all I got. So until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Choke me, let jerk and my. Jesus, this is so irritating, this music. Between the old women yapping away and the music, it's just too much noise for me. I need peace, baby. Peace. All right, I'm out.